B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, August 26, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Ballers is featuring League of Legends in their latest season. Plus, we're going to get to know Chad. Who is Chad? Stick around and you'll find out. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with the big League of Legends event that was in our backyard. That's right, the LCS Summer Split Finals right here at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan. We were all there hanging out in the press box watching both games go to five games.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was a wonderful weekend of League of Legends.
Yeah, so I really want to start out by kind of giving some praise to Detroit here, because Detroit turned out in force.
There was a lot of people.
They really did, man.
There was a lot of people. Can I say, there were so many more Cloud9 jerseys than I would have expected.
Yeah, I couldn't understand. Like, I didn't know what made Detroit a C9 town. If anything, I'd have thought it was a TSM town, because we got like TSM.
I mean, there was a TSM chant going at some point during finals day.
Well, that's true. That did happen.
If TSM had been competing this weekend, I feel like you'd have seen a lot of TSM jerseys.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like because it was like Cloud9 versus Team Liquid, Cloud9's got a longer legacy than Team Liquid does, even though Team Liquid's been far more successful over the past couple of years.
But you
Cloud9's a very endemic name.
But you would have thought Saturday, you know, when it was CLG versus Clutch Gaming, that would have been a much smaller crowd.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
It really wasn't. Like, it was definitely a smaller crowd, but not by that much.
Yeah, I mean, on both those days, when you got to the arena, and we got there pretty early for when the press doors opened, but the line when I got there, like an hour before, you know, the doors actually opened, the line was already starting to stretch around the building.
It's almost like the Midwest is chronically underserved in esports events, and everyone just wants to go.
I know. It's a good thing. And also, a word out to Riot, because they made the fan experience out there really, really cool.
Yeah, they did.
Like, arcades, and you could go on 1v1 Tyler 1 if you wanted to. They had a lot of stuff out there that was really, really cool on brand type stuff. So the fan experience was really great. The decorations inside the arena proper, like inside the concourse area where you get your food and stuff, was all decked out in like League of Legends regalia and like flat screens everywhere. It was bizarre and crazy to see that level of sort of synergy with the arena and LCS. It really was a great job from both of those organizations, making this feel like they would do this all the time.
Well, in the fan experience area too, you know, they had representation from every team in the LCS, you know, showing off their, you know, I mean, if you're a Golden Guardians fan, even they had a tent there, you know, handing out some merch and letting you meet some of the players. There were players from pretty much every team on hand, shaking hands, getting to know people. And like you say, the turnout, I mean, I don't think it would be overselling it to say 10,000 people
easily
were there. Like,
easily.
It felt like they did that much, at least.
Easily, if not more. Yeah, Sunday was particularly crazy. I will say it was a little bit weird. I did notice they were still selling Echo Fox jerseys, which I thought was a little bit weird. I don't know how
it's collectible
about that
at this point.
I guess.
I imagine they got a lot of stock they're trying to empty out. I don't know.
All right, let's actually talk about these games, because we had some amazing games being played.
Great. I did want to get your thoughts just real quick though on the opening ceremonies, because you were very much looking forward to them. I want to get your thoughts on how they went.
I thought Jax Anderson really performed very well. I'm a big fan of Flint Eastwood. I understand that the YouTube comments section didn't take well to it.
They don't ever take well
to anything with, you know, good music.
And I have to wonder if maybe it sounded better like live than it did,
Let me tell y'all this. I was in the arena when DJ Khaled performed at the Overwatch Grand Finals. The arena did not feel the way that it did yesterday.
Fair enough.
There was energy in the arena. People, at the very least, were respectful, cheered, did what they, you know, they were a good crowd.
Yeah.
At the same, no, this is nowhere near any type of energy like what happened with DJ Khaled. So yeah,
that was a mess.
I think the people were just being armchair activists.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that sounds about right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP. We're currently going over the LCS Summer Split Finals that happened here in Detroit, Michigan. We were all on scene for both of the days, and we got to talk about the action that went down, starting with Saturday's competition, CLG going up against Clutch Gaming.
Yep.
It looked very early like Clutch had this in the bag, only for CLG to come back and Joe, as you have mentioned many times on this show, to, you know, bring it back from a 0-2 situation and complete the reverse sweep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Clutch gets off to a strong 2-0 start, and not just like a strong start. They looked dominant.
Oh, they had those two games.
Yeah, like, it looked like we were going to a 3-0 sweep, but CLG does as CLG does, and they, you know, hung on for the third game and then turned it around and brought it all the way back.
Listen, I didn't believe in them.
I had packed up my stuff in game two.
You weren't alone. Yep. Most of the press box had.
Yeah.
That was like everyone was ready to go. But yeah, no, CLG brings it all the way back. They and just a really impressive show of kind of that mental fortitude. It's the same thing we saw in the semifinals when they started that comeback against Cloud9 after going down 0-2. Cloud9 really said absolutely not and shut the door on them, whereas Clutch seemed to get a little bit rattled when they weren't able to complete it. It was like CLG kind of got in their head.
Well, and also once you got back to that game five, you had Power of Evil go with the big brain play of picking an Ahri mid lane. That, who does that?
In game five, when everything's on the line, yeah, I don't know where he found the cojones to to go ahead and pick Ahri right there, but
it got a big reaction. It got a big reaction in the arena.
Oh yeah, the crowd was thrilled to hear it. So that was Saturday. So that brings us into Sunday, where we had number one versus number two, Team Liquid versus Cloud9 in the grand finals for all the marbles.
And I mean, this was a slobber knocker from beginning to end.
It was so good.
Yeah, one of the best series I feel like we've seen all year,
hands down.
Cloud9 gets out to a 2-1 series lead, and again, kind of everyone started packing up their stuff and saying, all right, well, I guess that's going to be it. Cloud9 3-1, and hang on, Team Liquid brings it back in game four and then dominates game five.
Now, the only point was game five, where Team Liquid looked like they really had a handle on what C9 was bringing to the table.
Team Liquid,
even
really
in the games where they won,
right,
C9 gave them a run every single time except for game five.
Yeah, I thought Team Liquid looked pretty good in the first game.
Yeah.
I think they really did kind of pull it out in the fourth game, and then the fifth game was just domination. I thought both teams looked pretty good. Again, the crowd being staunchly pro nine really did surprise me.
Yeah.
But I was happy to see that once it was over, everyone got loud and applauded for Team Liquid as they go on to win their fourth consecutive split. Coming off that Team Liquid win, we actually got to ask Doublelift in the postgame presser what it was like to win four consecutive splits.
Feels great. Impacting also won four in a row, but yeah, like Team Liquid used to be a joke of a team, zero fans, terrible, almost relegated. It's true. I mean, let's be honest here. So I'm really happy to have turned it around, or like been a part of helping turn it around. I think everyone worked super hard for it, and when I got kicked off TSM, I was like, oh no. So it might be over. Like, I might never win again. But turns out Team Liquid was an amazing team and a great choice.
Yeah, don't worry, Doublelift. You're not Afro Moo.
Yeah. So that was Team Liquid's bottom lane AD carry, Doublelift, letting us know how he feels after winning four consecutive splits, a feat that has never been done in North America. It really is astonishing. Every split since franchise model.
Joe, yeah. How was it finally being in the same room with Doublelift, unlike your colleagues over here who have done it many times already?
Well, you will notice that my first question in the press conference was definitely going straight to Doublelift. So it felt good to finally get to talk to him. He even smiled at me. So, you know what? Whatever.
Joe.
Yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, we also got the chance to talk to Cloud9. We were fortunately able to do a press conference with both teams because even though Cloud9 unfortunately came up short during the finals,
they are still going to Worlds.
They
yeah.
are still going to Worlds. Both teams have qualified for Worlds, and we needed to ask their AD carry, Sneaky, what they have to do to reset mentally and prepare for Worlds.
been a while since we got to skip the gauntlet, so it feels a bit different this time since we don't actually have to you know, haul ass and prepare for it, like go back, get ready, like stress out. It's a bit more stress-free this time, but yeah, I mean, I think what we'll have to do is just we'll probably all individually review the games and just look and see what went wrong, find out our weaknesses, and then we'll go into the boot camp coming up for Worlds and just prepare. Like, it won't be much different besides having a bit more time to ourselves.
And now I gotta ask, what does the world's picture look like?
Yeah, I mean, so Team Liquid and Cloud9 are both qualified for Worlds. They'll be going straight to the main event. We have one more person, or one more team from North America will get to qualify. That'll be decided at the regional gauntlet, which is coming up here in just a couple weeks. The four teams that are qualified for that are Clutch, Counter Logic Gaming, FlyQuest, and Team SoloMid. In the first round of that, it will be Clutch Gaming versus FlyQuest. The winner will face Logic Gaming, and the winner of that match will face Team SoloMid, and the winner there gets to go to Worlds to enter the play-in stages. They'll be the third representative for North America, so TSM only has to win one game. Meanwhile, FlyQuest and Clutch got to run the gauntlet and win three, which, to be fair, that's what Cloud9 did last year, and then they went to Worlds and were the best performing team at Worlds. So,
we'll all see. Right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think of the LCS Summer Split Finals? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get to know Chad. Who is Chad? You're going to have to stick around to find out. But ahead next, Ballers is going to be featuring League of Legends heavily on this season. Stick around, that conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
League of Legends is going to be featured prominently in this season of HBO's Ballers. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment on Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas on 720 AM as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. And there's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. One of the announcements that we got this week at the LCS Summer Split Finals was that League of Legends would be featured prominently on the HBO show Ballers. And so we thought we would take a look at it to be able to talk about it here on the show.
So, Norris, I gotta ask, because I know you've seen a little bit of Ballers before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all seen exactly one episode.
Yeah, I've now seen an episode of it, and it looks kind of like, I don't know, like Entourage for sports?
Not quite. So, what the show...
No, that's what I walked away from it with.
That's what I thought.
This is very much Entourage, but for sports.
In a way, but not quite. So, essentially what it is Dwayne Johnson, the Rock, he plays a sports agent who has this sort of cadre of professional athletes, lawyers, and other folks who
like
he knows.
Like an Entourage.
No, but they don't all hang out together. So it's a different, it's slightly different, but I get the comparison for sure.
Tonally, it's very similar. No,
tonally, 100%.
Okay.
So that's really what the show is about. And allegedly, well, not allegedly, but according to the first episode, one of his former clients, a football player, is looking at League of Legends and professional gaming as one of his potential post-career choices.
Which is interesting because it kind of plays on this idea that there has been a lot of crossover interest between traditional sports and esports.
You're thinking like Juju Smith-Schuster.
Or Jonas Jerebko, you know, any of the Shaquille O'Neal. Kevin Garnett. Exactly. There have been a lot of people who have been, you know, professional athletes that make the jump to ownership. Well, what I think the interesting thing that Ballers is doing here is having a character looking to jump from professional player to professional game player, which is not something that I think we've seen anywhere in popular culture yet.
And this is why I'm a little hesitant. I'm obviously going to keep sort of checking it out, but I'm really hesitant on whether or not Ballers actually treats, you know, League of Legends or the esports scene with the proper respect. Because in like the 30-second scene we've gotten so far, at least from the character's perspective, one of them thinks that it's a bunch of nerds up there playing, and the other one thinks, oh, because I've played video games all my life, I can do that too.
But at the same time, the guy who's saying, you know, they're a bunch of nerds also gives credence to the fact that, hey, they've been doing this their entire lives to this level.
Just that, but from a dramatic writing standpoint, you have to have someone who kind of plays the other side.
Yeah.
If Ballers just all of a sudden is like accepting esports on its face, you miss out in the very like legitimate conversation that's happening right now
in
both sports and esports as to where the legitimacy of esports comes in. And I think that it's probably a good thing at the end of the day to have a character or a couple of characters that embodies the old guard way of thinking so that you can play out that narrative between characters.
Right, and that's what we need to see kind of develop as the season goes along, because obviously we only got a couple minutes kind of playing with this
particular
story.
Yeah, literally like 90 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. But what we need to see kind of play out is the character needs to learn that, oh, this isn't just as easy as me saying I want to be professional esports athlete. There needs to be an episode or a couple episodes ideally of really like, oh, I'm not sure that I can do this,
which is what I think they're setting up here. And I think because they've already named a fictitious esports pro, I forget the name, but they have a named character who is going to be that vessel.
Kobe.
Yeah, who's going to be that vessel of, wait a minute, you can't just jump into this and think that you're going to, you know, be competitive on my turf. You know what I mean? So I think by having Riot and League of Legends officially involved, that is going to provide an extra level of content, a context, as opposed to them just making up an esports.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is that Riot is going to want to protect its brand too.
Exactly.
So they're not going to allow the show to paint it in a really stupid light. That's what I think I'm most excited for to see play out over the season, is to see what kind of brush are they painting esports with? And the fact that Riot is involved on a one-to-one level, I think really helps support the idea that this is going to lend credibility and legitimacy to esports to people who may not be otherwise exposed to esports.
The question that I have, and maybe Norris, this is something that you might have the most context for, is last season, maybe the season before, I saw that they started to introduce a character like from the X Games and whatnot, right? And it looks like he's still in it, sort of
Russell Brand's character.
Yes, Russell Brand there. Do you think that League of Legends is just going to be used to help explore, you know, this character who's thinking about shifting over, help just explore his character arc, and maybe he ends up coaching or going back to football? I don't know. But do you think that League of Legends and esports will now be carried on going into whatever the next season or the future of Ballers is?
This is the final season.
So, by
this being the final season, either this works out for this character or this will be used as a vessel to develop the character into whatever it is that they're supposed to do post football. Because this particular character is currently an NFL pro. So, I think that's where it has to go. But I think the bigger thing and the bigger question is does somebody look at this arc and look at how the content is being portrayed and say, oh, there's vital content that
could carry its own show.
That could carry its own show or own series beyond just this.
Let me tell you, I would actually be very interested to see an HBO-produced spinoff series from Ballers that focuses on esports. And I got to say, no one else is operating in that area or in that world. I mean, they would be able to kind of corner a rich part of the market doing that.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the Wild West of esports right now. I mean, a show covering like bringing players in under contracts with all the disputes that we've had with things like FaZe Clan, with issues all over
the
country.
There's so much. It's fertile ground.
Right, well, there's a ton of stories there.
But not just that. How many of you guys went out and saw the Mighty Ducks and then wanted to go play hockey?
Oh, that is such a good point. That is such a good
Who
point.
Who will make the Mighty Ducks of esports?
Oh,
that's the next level.
Never even thought about that, Norris. That's brilliant. That's a great point.
I'm ready to see like Little Giants. So, like, we're gonna have like famous plays referenced years
yes.
later.
That's
what,
it's like.
What is the annexation of Puerto Rico of League of Legends?
I want to know. I want to see that movie. I want to see that series. I think that this is fertile ground for a forward-thinking producer to look towards. This is great. I love the idea of this, and I hope we start to see more of it, and I really do hope that Ballers does esports and Riot and League of Legends. I hope they do all of that justice. But we want to hear from you. What do you think about League of Legends being portrayed in the latest season of Ballers? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get to know Chad. Who is Chad? Stick around. That's coming up next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Joining us in the studio and the newest member of the Checkpoint XP family is Chad. What's going on, Chad?
Hey, who is me?
What is Chad?
It's in Africa. That's all I really know.
Chad is a country.
That's true. That's true.
Chad
is. What's your official title? It's the brand manager for Checkpoint XP.
Yeah,
right?
Brand content manager.
That's right. So Chad is the latest edition.
Suspiciously made up.
Yeah. Right.
They gave me the suggestion. I just kind of threw it
sorry
out.
We okay. didn't make you war chief of brand content.
I did put that in.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go over well.
Oh.
Oh, war chief of content?
Bad.
Okay, we need to talk to our higher-ups here.
You know what? No, screw that. We do get to designate our own titles here. So
we do.
I'm fine with... Although, I don't want to crib on Dr. Issa's idea.
Okay.
So let's try to come up with our own titles.
Yeah.
New title for Chad.
It doesn't have to be now. It doesn't have to be now.
Oh,
but
okay.
I was about to say,
I don't know, Super Minion?
Wow.
Okay.
Minion.
That's... Far from Minion.
The hand of Checkpoint.
Oh, the slap of Checkpoint.
There you go.
The slap of Checkpoint.
That's really what it's going to be. It's me just slapping Checkpoint around.
Yeah,
sure, everything.
I like it.
Goes up.
Yeah,
oh,
actually,
there's a weird like double connotation. Usually when you're like a slap of something, you're like a stan or something.
Oh, yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Slap of Checkpoint.
Yeah.
So, Chad, why don't you give the audience an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. Tell everyone a little bit about your history with esports, working in radio. How did you get to be here as a part of Checkpoint XP?
Oh, geez. Long story short, basically, I've been with radio for like 6 years. So I've been there for a while. And after a while, I was like, I want to get into gaming. What can I do? So I eventually ended up with an esports organization. And then I met Beasley and found out, wow, radio is actually advancing into esports.
Yeah.
Finally, right?
And so, yeah. And then I kind of reached out and we went from there.
Yeah. So so that's how you came to be where we are today. So what kind of games are you a fan of?
I don't want to be hated in the chat.
No, so. You're not going to be hated in the chat.
Kidding?
No one can hate more. No one can hate anyone on the chat. Can't hate anyone more than me.
There you go.
That makes me feel better. Currently, I'm getting back into Minecraft.
Oh, ooh, they'll hate you. Never mind.
First off, I might do just me playing Minecraft just for the hate comment. So
there
hate
you
watch me if you want.
No, there you go.
I have a very important question for you, being now the Minecraft person on staff here. I saw recently with like NVIDIA or Radeon or whatever, they're coming out with like the super graphic intensive Minecraft.
It's got ray tracing now.
It's got ray tracing, which, okay, so.
Does Minecraft need that?
Is ray tracing just a buzzword that means nothing?
I feel like it is. Yeah.
No one really knows what it is, and I'm not going to sit there and try to explain it. But basically, I don't know what they're trying to tout because there's so many other shaders on Minecraft that you could just use already that look just as good, in my opinion. But
Minecraft blast processing.
Let's go after you, Minecraft. Even though I love your game, you're not doing the best. But yeah, there's like free stuff that people put out on for free shaders already that look, you know, pretty good. Yeah. Like, so I don't know why like this is, in my opinion, the big.
But not the whole purpose of Minecraft to like not.
It doesn't
like,
need
to look like trash.
Yeah,
I think
Legos,
they just want to up it. I mean, they have the whole like augmented reality Minecraft right now, that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's like really their real big push about making it as pretty as possible. I mean, it's don't get me wrong, seeing a block that is completely rendered out, you know, it's pretty cool. As dumb as it sounds, but you know, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
And the water looks beautiful.
I just came up with the first thing that Chad needs to do on stream.
Yes.
Right now, we've seen these amazing feats of like people recreating Middle Earth or like, you know, the Game of Thrones world
Western
in Minecraft.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to put that on you, all right?
Please don't.
But what I would like to see, and I think, you know, other Minecraft players in the chat would like to see, is a recreation of the Checkpoint,
Studios in Minecraft.
Oh, yeah!
Yes!
The ceiling works. We're good on the ceiling.
That part will be easy enough.
Yeah, that part will be easy. I'll try it.
It's
that
a challenge.
One viewer,
I like it.
That one viewer
and
join
and,
me.
Oh, hold on. I think there was a few people.
There's
Echo
a few
Revelations.
Viewers.
Yeah, actually, a few people in there were like, I'm into Minecraft. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Maybe
we're off.
Omega Well Toss said it's relaxing.
It is relaxing.
All right.
Okay, you know what? This is a good question then. So if that's your, would you consider Minecraft your relax game, or is that like your I go in to do something game?
Chad plays Dead by Daylight for
that's
relaxing.
True. That's my other vice. So I'm like, you know who?
That relaxing?
Okay, when you're chasing someone down, there's nothing more than bloodlust that'll relax the soul.
Oh, okay. You know I'm the serial killer.
Right.
Oh, okay.
First of all, I now picture Chad when he's playing that like old Pepe Le Pew, just kind of like frolicking around after the person he's chasing. I'm gonna get him eventually.
I'll get him eventually.
One day, I'm gonna get all four of you. It'll be great.
But what is everybody's relax game?
I don't know that. First of all, I don't know that NATO.
Well, Nate doesn't.
One.
Nate doesn't relax.
Okay,
no, he does now. It's Fallout, right? At this point, he's going and building Fallout.
I have been. Yeah, like it's weird because Fallout has sort of become The Sims for me.
Yeah.
So
I guess it's
Fallout Sims.
Fallout Sims.
That's
Fallout Sims.
Yeah. Well, like, because here's the thing: if I'm playing with the intention to go to bed, I don't go out and do quests or anything like that. I build stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I love the building part of it.
Yeah. So in that way, it is kind of similar to Minecraft, where I'm like trying to like solve spatial issues, and for some reason that's really exhausting because I don't know geometry.
There may be something to this because my relaxed game is City Skylines, which also requires a certain level of like building
and planning, and like you think about it like outside of the game too.
Yeah, that's so weird.
You know what?
That's relaxing.
And here's mine. Civilization is mine.
Yeah. Another one.
There's
that
something
just
to this.
Yeah.
Me personally.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and be the combo breaker, just like Mr. Mr. Blinks in the chat here. I don't feel like I have like a relaxed game. To me, whatever I'm playing is usually relaxing. Definitely not Overwatch. That definitely gets me tilted. But just whatever my single player game at the moment is will usually relax me.
Volkai's got a good one. Volkai says Stardew Valley, and I was playing.
Oh yeah,
Stardew Valley. Yeah, so Mr. Good. Blinks said Animal Crossing. That's another really good one.
Yeah, I mean, do you like Harvest Moon?
I like Harvest Moon, but I always get to the point where I'm just like, I can't play this anymore because, I don't know, I can never get to an end of a Harvest Moon.
Right.
For no reason.
Well,
Stardew
Valley, at least for me, there was a point where I was like, okay, cool. I could buy five of everything in every store. I'm done. That's good enough for me. So, yeah, no, if you like Harvest Moon, play Stardew Valley.
Okay, I'll throw that in there. Yeah,
the God Complex in Sim games makes them relax.
You know what? I really want to play that the Jurassic Park.
That's still on my
Jurassic
wish
Park
list
sim?
On Steam.
The Sim, yeah.
Y'all know me and my Sim game.
That's the one that you build the park?
Yes.
And
yes.
Like,
yeah.
Try not to get the dinosaurs to kill everyone.
Or try to get them to kill everyone. If it's me.
let's
just keep it funky.
That's another serial killer tick in Joe's column.
Echo Revelation says, no, don't play that one. It's bad.
Really?
That sucks.
That's actually not the first time I've heard that. I've heard a couple times that it's
I'm
going
to get a true fan of Jurassic Park eventually to talk about this because like he even likes the really bad Game Boy. There's like a really bad DNA factor. It is just like the worst mini game series ever on Game Boy, and he loves it just because it has Jurassic Park in the title. So
one good Jurassic Park game, and it's on the Sega Genesis. The only good Jurassic Park game. All the other ones are terrible.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that old DOS game that I had was not very good.
Was the one on Genesis just a port? Was it ported to SNES? Because I remember the one.
Yes, it came on Genesis first.
The one that was like first person when you were inside, but it was third, like top down.
No, that was the DOS game.
I moved over. Yeah,
that one's
the one I'm thinking
good.
Of is a 2D side.
No, it's not.
Platformer.
Yes, it is. No, it is not.
And by good, I mean passable.
It is not
it's
even passable. No,
it's
it is.
It might have been on Super Nintendo actually.
Super Nintendo, it was passable.
DOS version was garbage. I remember that.
Yeah, the DOS version. I'm pretty sure almost bricked my parents' computer.
Nah. The Super That's Nintendo fair. One yeah. was straight.
Nate, are you in there downloading viruses onto the computer?
Yes. Yes. Specifically viruses.
I Yahooed viruses.
Yahoo.com.
Hey, Jeeves, where do I get viruses from?
Yeah. No, I
just let her think it's viruses.
One of the first games I think I ever played on DOS was
Oregon Trail.
Full Throttle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Full Throttle. That game was amazing. And it broke, like, it would crash like an hour in every time I tried to play. It would just hard crash out and then I have to start over again.
First DOS game I ever played. Don't even remember the name of it. I just know that it was a NASCAR esque type game where you got to, like, you know, increase like the pressure on the tires and stuff like that.
Yeah.
First game I played on DOS was like, I don't know, like Number Munchers or something like that.
Sim Ant.
Lemmings.
I played. I
remember Lemmings.
I played the hell out of SimCopter. I beat SimCopter, which I did not
really.
Yeah, like
Spy Hunter.
Oh,
y'all going out of my comfort zone here. I don't know any of these.
So, to that point, Chad, what was the very first video game that you ever remember playing?
The first video game I remember playing, Crash Bandicoot, the original.
Oh, okay.
That was my first video game.
Chad's just a baby.
Wow.
Yo, we're so old.
That made me feel really old.
I think also I might have been a little bit later to the gaming.
He's like, I love those retro PlayStation games.
Oh. That is retro. Are you kidding? What do you think's in the retro section in the PlayStation 4 store?
Stop making it real, man.
He's not wrong.
Oh, no.
I barely
You're
remember
talking
the
about my childhood. Like, this is sad. This makes me sad.
Like, I barely remember, like, Final Fantasy VII coming out. Like, I remember when 10 came out, and I, like, lost myself. Because, like, oh, it's going to be exciting. Yeah. So, like, that's my childhood. Is like, early Final Fantasy. Well, mid.
All right, I was going to say, mid-level. 10 is not early Final Fantasy.
Early Final Fantasy, I meant to say PS2.
I was going to say, it's the 10th one. That's not I meant early.
I should have clarified for the PS2.
Yeah, no. I remember when they announced Chrono Trigger. And I was like, wait a minute. My little, like, six-year-old self was like, wait a minute. It's Final Fantasy and Dragon Ball. The guy who drew Dragon Ball. How is this not the greatest game ever made?
It worked out.
It worked out. It is probably
it actually is the greatest game ever made. No.
Yeah, I remember being like 7 or 8 and seeing my cousin getting a Nintendo 64 for the first time, and like Star Fox 64, like just made my brain melt.
Like the first one in the family with a 64.
Yeah, he got the 64 before I did, and yeah, he had two games when he first got it. It came with Star Fox 64, mm-hmm. and he also got Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey.
Damn, that's a good start.
And man, did we play the hell out of those games.
That is a good start.
Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey.
Oh.
The NHL and the NHLPA presents Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey.
Oh my God!
God, it sucked though.
did you ever play the arcade version?
Hell yeah!
Yeah,
the arcade version was actually, I think, the better version.
No, it was was anything the same thing? Like Killer Instinct Gold.
That's true.
It's way better in the arcade.
That's true.
I mean, come on, man.
I feel like there's so many limited options in the arcade. Like, how good was that Simpsons Brawl fight? Like,
excellent.
It was okay, but like when I got the same game when it was like on like one of the like PlayStation Store or whatever, and I was like,
didn't Konami make
that? That's fine.
Yes, because Konami made all the damn beat 'em ups back then.
That's right.
From like 89 to 94, like they made all the beat 'em ups except for the final fight.
Yeah, pretty much though. That's about it, because they were Double Dragon, right?
No, that was Tecmo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's almost all of them.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Dead Dude Tank referencing the Ken Griffey game on 64.
I sure do.
Remember, when every sports franchise needed a name to go along with it? Because they were like, well, Madden works. This is clearly the only.
Yes.
Get Sean White for a snowboarding game. That's totally unnecessary.
On that Ken Griffey baseball game, on the D-pad, not the stick, but on the D-pad, if you press left, right, left, when you were playing as Ken Griffey, he would call a shot, and all you had to do was make contact with the ball as an automatic home run.
That's not a great mechanic.
No. Not at all.
That's awful.
Oh, dude, I played so many games and didn't tell any of my friends. They were like, how did you do that? I was like, oh, man, it's just a taunt. Everybody can taunt.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, I can't figure it out. And I was just like winning like 35-2.
Morgan Freeman's taking us back. The Intellivision, we had to lay the plastic overlay and let the static cling of the TV keep it on there.
Oh,
there were no
God.
Graphics. It was just a little like white dot that you could move around.
Yeah.
And the actual stick-on overlay is the whole
Well,
graphics.
But that's because Morgan Freeman is an actual grandfather.
Yeah, he's like 90 years old.
So it's not the real Morgan Freeman.
I had a feeling. I mean, if he's watching, hi.
That'd be awesome. If
hi.
Can we talk more about
penguins, please?
It would be.
Oh, Morgan Freeman talking about penguins,
like,
man. It's the
best.
About
anything. God. He's the voice of penguins. Like, what can't he do?
But, March of the Penguins with no Morgan Freeman is
I would not watch
good.
It.
That's not
it
a movie I'm watching.
You watch it because
yeah, right?
Freeman.
I'm going
like
to sit
March
through how
garbage.
Much footage of penguins?
Well, Bandersnitch Cumberbun, he did a penguin one. But it was weird because the way...
he couldn't say it.
That was purposeful, by the way. But the way that he said it, yeah. The way that like he said it, because I remember on this late night show, they were like playing clips of it, and every time he said it, he would be like, penguins.
Penguins.
And they're like, just say penguin.
Penguins.
Penguins.
this group of penguins.
I was just watching Sherlock the other night. I don't know why I went back to like... start watching through that show again. That show is wonderful.
It is
so good.
Morgan Freeman says, hello, Chad, and go to hell, Norris.
Sherlock. Okay, so I liked that show up until like the very end, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but they do something. They kill off a character that I liked.
That's the episode
I
just watched.
And I stopped watching it because I can't get through it now.
I'm
like, I really like the character, and I was like,
I understand, but you should keep watching.
I'll try, but
the next
no
episode's
no
really, really good.
I'll let you know if I ever do. It'll take
me
at least another year.
No one stays dead.
Oh, spoilers. But
that's a huge spoiler.
I actually don't even remember who the hell they're talking about, so this person might, but...
Oh, okay.
I was about to say, like...
But like that, if they kill... That's like saying, oh, you know, I stopped reading Marvel Comics because they killed off one of my favorite kids.
Does Sherlock play
months.
By Dragon Ball Z rules? Like, what is happening?
Rob, I'm glad you said that because I was like literally getting on my phone like, did I miss an episode? Like, what the hell?
Again, I have no idea which episode you're talking about.
Okay.
So who knows?
No, but I know Sherlock. It previously may have has some Dragon Ball Z mechanics involved.
Oh, there are
there have definitely been some DBZ mechanics. Yeah,
100%, man.
After season two, where they do some weird shit.
They do a lot of weird stuff. Yeah,
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 yeah.
Yeah. So he's just sort of like running along Snake Way. He'll get back in a minute.
Sherlock shows up again in season three. You can do the Kaioken now. He's yeah, right. About it. That's how he beats Moriarty.
So I think, you know, television and movies are really big, you know, kind of connection point between us and the audience. What are some of your favorite TV shows that you've watched recently, Chad?
This is where you're going to get judged, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
By us. Heavily.
All right. I'm starting Stranger Things 3 because I wanted to wait.
I was about to get really offended if he hadn't watched any of Stranger Things.
No. Okay. I wanted to wait because
you offended you a fan of D&D and tabletops?
I mean, I'll play.
Let the man finish one thought.
No.
I don't have many thoughts. It's okay. But like I've just started that one, but I recently finished Sabrina, the newest season.
Okay, how is that? I want to see it.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, okay.
Listen, I
really
want to see it. Okay, I had there was a girl that I was dating for a little bit that asked me to watch a couple of episodes. I even liked what I saw.
Really?
I didn't keep watching it. But I liked what I saw.
I'm the same as Nate. I got about halfway through it, and I liked what I saw too, but it didn't really draw me back in.
Yeah.
So. I think the newest season might get you. Try the newer season. Because there's a second season.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. It's been out for a couple months. I don't remember.
You know, can I just say, by the way, that the Netflix shows that like come out once a year, the real MVPs and the people who take like 3 years to film a new one, Mindhunter's looking right at you.
Yeah. I do want... I still haven't seen the second season of Mindhunter. What else? Anything else that you're particularly interested in?
Chad, just like us now, man, he ain't got no time, bro.
I know. I'm trying to remember what I even watch. Like, I feel
you
like,
watch any animes?
You know what?
Any animus?
I've been trying to catch up on Tokyo Ghoul. It's one of those animes that I'm like, I always like want to watch it, and then like halfway through a season, I stop. I don't know why.
So that's me and a lot of anime.
I don't watch no anime.
So Chad's not a weeaboo. That gives him another point in my
book.
No,
he's not a weeb.
I'll watch like Cowboy Bebop. Always.
Yeah.
All right. Like,
There's classics.
I mean, one. I'm more of like, I'll watch a classic one. And if one looks interesting, I'll go to it. Okay. Like, don't get me wrong. But like, I'm not going to go out and like search the new stand.
There are certain classics, and then there are certain really weird ones that you should watch. But like, if you hear of an anime that's like, everybody's like, oh my God, you need to watch it, don't watch it.
Yeah.
I got asked, like, have you caught, like, been keeping up with like the newest like season of anime? And I'm like, they measure that like in that's a thing.
Go away.
Like,
besides One Punch Man.
I watch anime like normal people do. Someone complains about it to me, and then I go, okay, well now I need to see it.
See how garbage
I need
it
to
is.
Hear how awful it is before I'm willing to watch.
Besides One Punch Man. One Punch Man is like the only anime I've ever watched where I'm just like, it deserves
all
the credit.
You should watch. Okay, this is actually, I haven't seen the newest season, Castlevania. Netflix did a good job.
I just started it.
Such a good job.
I love that.
So,
oh my God.
Mr. Like, Blinks is mentioning Ruby, which while not...
It's an American
anime.
No, absolutely not.
It counts.
I feel like it does.
No, it counts, but absolutely not. I'm not watching it.
I love Ruby.
I love that show. Yeah, I probably wouldn't watch it.
It's too weird. Too weird.
Chad, what was the last movie you wanted to go see?
I'll watch anything he makes.
The movie? Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I saw that one. I was excited about it. I'm really bummed that they're, whatever the hell they're doing at this point.
Who's getting you in the divorce? Marvel or Sony?
I might just go out and live on my own. I don't know.
Okay.
You'll be emancipated minor.
Spider-Man movies for Chad.
Yeah, I'm going to the lawyers right now just to, like, sign the paperwork. I'm out. Honestly.
DC got Chad in the divorce.
Yeah.
He's going to live with Uncle DC now.
I don't know. Again,
it's not much better
DC's
over there.
DC's the weird uncle you don't invite to the barbecues.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. But I'm really bummed because I really liked that one. And I didn't see the first Spider-Man. So I'm going off of just seeing the second Spider-Man. I was really excited to see it.
It was good.
And so I was like, oh, I'll watch the first one. And then I hear the news that they're not even going to bother, like, or at least, you know, whatever is going on with them. And now I'm just like, I don't know if I should watch the
first
one.
In the MCU.
You should see it.
Yeah, you got
it. It literally is the second best Spider-Man movie ever made.
Yeah.
All right.
And believe me, I just went back and watched the original Spider-Man 2 and 3.
Yeah. The first one's good.
Hey, you
first
know what?
First one was good. You'll notice what? I didn't watch that one. I only like things I hate.
Tobey Maguire is the only one to get three solo Spider-Man flicks so far.
That's
right?
True.
So you put some respect on his name.
Yeah, that's true.
I will not. All right, well, not or his emo hair.
That was a bad move. Chad, thank you so much for giving our audience an opportunity to get to know you. Chad will be a regular part of the show, so if you hear him as a part of the show, you know,
don't be surprised.
Don't be too surprised.
Don't be surprised. Don't at me. You know, I mean, actually at me.
You
I
should,
could.
Yeah, you should.
You should.
Yeah,
you should.
At Chad.
Yeah, considering that you're doing our social media, I would
yeah, especially
well, at Checkpoint 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right, well, Chad, thank you so much, man, and looking forward to having you here for future shows.
I'm looking forward to it too.
That's going to be it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.